Monday Sports Line, the Bulldog Hour. Jeff Morey alongside. Then you get it free and have it out to our buddy Phil Benatti, his poncho. Behind the bench, 2 hours today, and then it's time to kick things off with Major Wager Monday. As always, at Minette's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota Granite Park. Great time. Entire gang will be out there at 5 o'clock. Carter, everybody stop by and see him. Prizes, great food, obviously, and the game on the big screen. And it has been a very interesting weekend in the National Football League. And I will say this up front one more time. I know Josh Allen was not the finished product when he left Fireball High School that he is now. But one more time, anybody from that coaching staff at that time that seriously thought or still thinks that he didn't deserve a chance at where he wanted to play, which was Fresno State, they are out of their ever loving minds, and that's the millionth time that I've said it until it'll be a million and one times the next time Josh is on national TV again, which will be next week. Anyway, that's enough about that. A lot of football to talk about with Paul today. I want to mention this up front before I talk about the sponsors. Guys that sent in the emails, Steve from Clovis, Clovis Dave, Rick from up north, Robert, our buddy here from in town, they're all great friends. Anybody who, Clovis Dave, I know that in emails you have sent, I haven't been able to address, to Gino and Visalia, to everybody who sent input in, I appreciate it. I will try to break it down during the week. Today, what I want to do is get Paul's overview, because you don't have a ton of time with Paul, just the one time during the week, and then Jackson, who should be with me twice, will be able to go over some of the specifics, but we will get to the general consensus, if you will, with the email that came in. That having been said, sponsorship-wise, I want to thank up front our pals at Lee's Air Plumbing, Heating, and Roofing. Allow me the time every day to bring you the weather, and that's very pertinent right now because of the wildfire smoke, which is all over the place. But anyway, Lee's been in the Central Valley since 1981. Terrific local people. You see the avocado green and blue trucks all over the place. I've had them in to do work, even during COVID. They're great people. Give them a call, 825-5337, 825-LEES, or jump on the web at leesair.com. Or, if you have a chance, use the Lee's Air hotline to call Phil and talk to him directly during his show. It's also how we bring the guests up. That's 559-320-1430. But right now, focusing on the weather, temperature-wise, it's outstanding here as we head toward mid-September. But one more time, the Garnet Fire continues to rage, close to out of control. They've got it about 14% contained already. More evacuations north of Pine Flat. This fire is consuming about 10,000 acres a day, and right now we're getting very close to 50,000 acres being destroyed at the moment. And I say at the moment because as the weather cools, you would think that would be good news, but in reality, it actually re-energizes a lot of the fire because of the way it starts to move upward. So just be very careful there. And again, prayers out to all the firefighters who are really risking everything to try to get this under control. And it is very important here, obviously, but also throughout the state. We have so many fires going on at the moment, so be very careful. As far as the forecast itself, temperature-wise, can't ask for anything more. 91 today, a low of 63. Then 86 tomorrow, 84 on Wednesday, 86 Thursday, 87 Friday. Then we go 90, 88, 89. So the next 7-plus days look terrific. We know we probably aren't done completely with the heat and may very well get to triple digits again at some point before we say goodbye, which we do somewhere in mid-October to summer in this town. But right now, the weather is great temperature-wise, but the atmosphere, because of the haze in the valley, is pretty tough at the moment. So be careful, and if you're very sensitive to it, take great precaution. Anyway, thanks, everybody at Lee's, for allowing us the time. Again, leesair.com, 825-5337, 825-LEES. The other reminders, first, our friends at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman right now, proud sponsor of the Bulldog Bread Collective. They have terrific specials going on. I'll tell you more about them a little later on, but suffice it to say, you've got the Tuesday $10 8-piece bucket. You've got the country fried steak for $5.99 on Wednesdays. Other specials as well we'll talk about a little later on. But the main gist for us, not only the terrific food, obviously, at KFC, but the fact that this international, national, and local company has jumped aboard the NIL train at Fresno State. It really helps a great deal, not only monetarily, but it brings more credibility to your cause. So if you stop in to grab a bucket or two, any of the local operators in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kermit, tell them thanks for being part of the solution at Fresno State, and we will tell you more about KFC a little bit later on. Our lineup today, I mentioned we major wager money getting underway. It'll be the Vikings and the Bears to wrap up what's been a very compelling and strange week of National Football League action. That's at 5 o'clock today. That will take the Giants off for us. The A's will be over on 790. The Giants and the D-backs will start tonight. That game's available on TV on FS1 and on the Giants network as well through NBC Sports Bay Area. We'll get back to the Giants tomorrow, and I'll tell you all about the entirety of the schedule for both stations a little bit later on, courtesy of Ed Dunkel and his great business, Precision Civil Engineering. Again, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, it's all there under one roof. Give them a call at 449-4500 or go to the web for more information at precisioneng.net. Ed, another great benefactor for his alma mater, Fresno State, and particularly is able to benefit the Lyles College of Engineering on campus at Fresno State as they combine athletics and academics to move everything forward. And we really appreciate everything Ed does, and we will tell you more about his business when we go over the entirety of the schedules a little bit later on. Then finally, speaking of good friends, longtime and great friend Joe Cruz and his terrific business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. Always want to mention them. They've been sponsors for a good long while, and Joe has been, as a native son of the Valley, someone very committed to what goes on at Fresno State. Been a booster for over three decades, celebrating right now the 25th anniversary of his outstanding business. Again, 4529 North Marty Avenue in Town Suite 103. That's where you find Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply. More information on the web at superiorpipeusa.com, or Gabe, who works for Joe, has a direct email, gabe.sbs@gmail.com, or give him a call at 266-7473, which is 266-PIPE. Everything is there: pipe, fittings, valves, sanitary fittings, food-grade chemical hoses. The whole shooting match is there. And if you have any business at all or any association with a business where you're a plant person, maintenance worker, someone who has a tanker delivery service working around a boiler, for instance, anything along those lines, if a valve goes down, your business can come crashing down in a real big hurry. And what Joe has is not only a very family-friendly business where you can stop in and talk to him face-to-face, tell him what your problems are, and he'll analyze things quickly, but the fact that he can get to you same day, give you a same-day estimate, get things started to make sure your business does not fall by the wayside. So if you stop in, tell him the issues you have or give him a call, tell him. Joe will tell you what he can do for you once he sees exactly what you are facing. And then if you have time, he will tell you what he does for Fresno State. And the best avenue right now, go to the main website at GoBulldogs.com. There's a donate link at the top. Click on that. Take you to different areas of donation. Bulldog Foundation has an organization there. And if you stop by there, keep in mind, you're looking at scholarship when you talk about Bulldog Foundation, okay? That is scholarship for Fresno State. That's the BDF for a good long while right now. It's got restructured many years ago. It probably shouldn't have been, and hopefully they're able to get it back to where it was for so many years. Also, Myers Champion Circle is there, and you have information for tickets and parking for all events on campus. And then finally, under ways to give the individual sports club so your money goes directly to the sport you choose. For instance, quarterback club for football, timeout club for men's basketball. Jack Ferdy usually with me every week, at least one day to talk basketball as we approach the season, of course, late October, early November. It won't be the case the next couple of weeks because the Giants have afternoon games against Arizona, one at Oracle this week and then one in Phoenix next week. But Jack will be with me most of the time. He is on the board of directors of the Timeout Club. They'd love to have more members. He said you can call him directly on his cell, 559-287-3305, or hit him up on his email, ferdyjack@aol.com. Also, links for other sports are there. For instance, Dugout Club for baseball and other men's and women's sports. And then finally, mentioned it earlier, the Bulldog Bread Collective, bulldogbread.com, bread as in on the table. That's right, Paul, on the table, B-R-E-A-D.com. That phrase, by the way, Paizan, comes from, it doesn't matter what you say about the economy. What people are concerned about is whether they have bread on the table or not. And I'm telling you, Fresno State would love to have more bread on the table in regard to NIL monies. That's why we thank Ed Dunkel and Joe Cruz and KFC and everything that they do for us, because it is all part of the Bulldog Bread Collective, which sits there right alongside of what the university can do for its student-athletes right now. But anything you have, Chris started it, handed it off to Marcus McMarion. Hit Marcus up, bulldogbread.com. Any donation, big or small, any sponsorship idea, he will get back to you as soon as possible. Anyway, thanks to everybody sponsorship-wise. I'll talk more about him later on. And right now, let's segue to our great friend, longtime visitor on this show, and now, because he is getting old, longtime voice of Fresno State Athletics, and nothing pleases me more than to talk about him getting old, because when we first started talking, I think Paul was like 7. Let's bring up Paul Leffler right now. Paul, how you doing?
I'm great, but I don't get older till next month. So,
I'm sorry. Okay. Let me explain to the people. This has to do with the mathematics. For most of the year, I am 20 years older than Paul. But for a very short period of time, from October, roughly, what was it, early October or whatever it is, until early February, it's 19 years. And I hold on to that 19 years. And Paul knows damn well it's 20 years. So I always can keep track of your age, Paul. And all kidding aside, you are still a very young guy and very accomplished at that. So anything else to make you blush? Anything at all?
Wow. Well, you mentioned Marcus McMarion and Ed Dunkel. They're both on the trip to Corvallis, and I know they both enjoyed the end result. That was certainly a bizarre ball game, but you know, I'm thinking about some of the folks that we know in our little circle of sports broadcasting in Fresno, and your longtime friend and mine, Woody Wilk, did a phenomenal job this morning delivering an invocation before our 32nd Central Valley Honor Flight. He's an Air Force veteran, served in a few interesting places during the Vietnam War. He said he fought the Cold War with a hot mic in Thule, Greenland for a while. But he's one of 73 Valley veterans who are heading to Washington, D.C. for the next couple days. And your listeners can join us in welcoming him home Wednesday night. Coach Entz came out this morning. He's out there at 6 a.m. shaking the hands of veterans. A lot of interesting Bulldog and football connections among the vets on this flight. People like Jerry Gallagher, who was a high school quarterback in Tranquility, where he met his wife of 62 years, and and he played for Kalinga College, was going to play for Cal Poly when his draft notice came. That changed his life. But one of many guys on this flight who served forever in law enforcement. We got the older brother of a former Bulldog football All-American on this flight. When Tom McCall was piling up the interceptions, you probably remember that name, yep, in 1968. His brother Ron was in Vietnam building airstrips and helicopter landing pads. I could go on and on. Tom Allen is a guy who had a decorated Air Force career, but then was a longtime TV photographer at Channel 24. He used to shoot all the Bulldog games on the sideline and queue up the highlights for Pat Ogle to read them. A lot of guys who've been connected to football in the Valley, and so to have Coach Entz out there sharing from the heart, getting a little choked up as he talked about when his World War II uncle went on an honor flight out of Iowa. And then I thought this was awesome, inviting all those veterans to come to the game Saturday night with, you know, on tickets compliments of Fresno State. So it's Heroes Night Saturday. There'll be a lot of recognitions throughout the ball game. I know our friends from EECU have stepped up to really support that mission too.
Right.
And hopefully it's going to be a packed house with the Southern Jaguars and their human jukebox in town.
And that is a very entertaining offense that Southern brings in, so we'll see how it plays out. Two quick notes. One, there has never been a nicer human being on earth than Woody Wilk. Let me tell you that up front. And number two, long ago, when I was calling City College games. This goes back to John Volek. Probably goes back to Claire Slaughter, for goodness sake. But certainly John Volek and our great friend Tony Cavilla. Not that John Volek's not our great friend as well. But by the time things would wrap up, particularly in the late night games, the games that started at 7 or 7:30 at Ratcliffe, I would be probably the only one left other than the team, except for Woody Wilk, who would still be up in what passed for a broadcast booth that we never used. We were always down below. And he would still be there getting all the stats put together. And sometimes I would leave at 1 o'clock in the morning, and Woody Wilk was still there, Paul. That's how dedicated Woody Wilk was. And I'm so glad that he was rewarded by being enshrined in the local Hall of Fame, the Fresno County Athletic Hall of Fame. And, you know, you bring up Pat Ogle. When I was at Channel 24, I'll never forget one night we went to shoot San Joaquin Memorial's girls team up at the Tournament of Champions in Oakland, and the only way to get the feedback in the old days was you had to go by Brenda Slough, find an elevation there, and then send things down. And Pat, myself, and Dennis Marin in about 60 miles of wind trying to send a feed back to Channel 24. And you know what? It's like the 1970s, but you remember it as good times, although I have a hunch, Paul, it probably wasn't that great a time. It just seems like it right now, if you know what I mean. So those are great people, and I'm glad you brought them up. All right. That having been said, well, first of all, just a weird weekend for our teams in the Northwest, because the 49ers played a game yesterday that they really should have lost, but they found a way to win. A lot of the emails said the Bulldogs should have lost, but they found a way to win. And so much of it comes down to Warner and all of this. And I just want to say this up front, Paul, as I get your take on this. I know exactly what Matt Entz is thinking right now, and he is channeling the Al Davis mantra, and he also is talking, I think, in regard to Herm Edwards, the two things. Herm Edwards' comment, you play to win the game, and Al Davis, of course, with just win, baby. And I think everybody knows, no matter what their feeling may be about the quarterbacking situation, and we have them on both sides of the ledger, the opinions, that as long as Fresno State is winning, E.J. Warner is your quarterback, and the old, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And no matter what those from the outside might think, and some have very legitimate points, Paul, I do not believe for one second there's going to be a change made as long as Fresno State keeps winning. But you and I know after Southern, you've got a tough trip to the islands. You've got Colorado State after Nevada. So I would say it's just to be determined and try to enjoy the ride. Is that the best way for fans who are on both sides of this ledger to deal with it right now, in your opinion?
Yeah. You know, winning ugly is a lot better than losing pretty, right? And
yep.
They're a work in progress. You know, new coaching staff, half the team, new players. Some have adjusted really quickly. Look at Jaden Pearson leading the nation in tackles, Mountain West Defensive Player of the Week. How special was special teams the other day, right? I mean, Dylan Lynch is the Mountain West Special Teams Player of the Week, but Jake Carrillo, the Clovis Cougar alum, with the play of the day on that bizarre play, one of many bizarre, strange, inexplicable moments in that wild one in Corvallis. And, of course, all the eyes go to the quarterback. And, you know, I think he'd be the first one to tell you that he's not playing as well as he'd like. He's not as consistent as he'd like. But give E.J. Warner some credit on that final drive when they needed him. I mean, they lose the game if he doesn't have the poise and the decision-making to get rid of the ball when he needs to get rid of it, to run when he needed to get run, and to move him into position for that field goal to put him in front. You know, we saw some situations like that last year where the quarterback took a sack and they ended up out of field goal range. E.J. hasn't been sacked the last two games. So, you know, we can't ignore some of the things that are going right, but when you look at zero touchdown passes, five interceptions, and you look at an entire roster where all the quarterbacks, if you combine what they've done in a Bulldog uniform, have zero touchdown passes and seven interceptions, nobody ever wants to look at that stat. I don't know if any team's ever had that stat, but it's not going to stay that way. And, you know, Josh Davis is a skilled enough offensive coordinator to figure out how to call some plays to build confidence, pick the right spots, pick the right timing. At some point, you know, E.J. Warner's going to have to be able to stretch the field a little bit. There are receivers that can certainly stretch the field. And he just needs to get in sync with them. And if, you know, over time that still doesn't happen and you're in league play and it's a critical situation, you know, I'm sure if the coaching staff has a threshold where they feel like they need to make a change, they will. But in the meantime, you know, they've invested in this plan, in this approach, and they don't want to give up any ground they've gained and backtrack to try to break in somebody new. And, you know, on one hand, that's tough because you could say, hey, you know, look at Conklin's numbers last year, and he's got great touch. He can improvise well. But, you know, there's a bit of a risk. When you throw him into the fire, he hasn't played at this level. Mandel's played a tiny bit at this level. He's got the strongest arm. I'd say he's probably the best runner of them. But he hasn't had enough game reps to develop that feel. And, you know, in trying to get him those reps, you end up putting one in the loss column. So clearly, and Coach Entz's comments at the news conference today, I think were unequivocal. E.J. Warner is a starter. They're 2-1. They're not changing course. And I promise you this, there's nobody in a Bulldog uniform more focused, more driven, more determined to improve than E.J. Warner is. So I think everyone's hoping that's what we see. And if that is how it ends up, right, if we see that improvement, if that infinity ratio in the wrong direction on the TDs to picks gets turned around, I think people look back and say, hey, hats off to the coaching staff for trusting those instincts, sticking with them, and giving them a chance to sort it out. It's a thankless job. As a quarterback, as a head coach, the microscope is pretty severe. But, you know, I think the biggest thing that stood out to me in that game was resilience. And there's some mental toughness that comes into play when you know you should be winning by more, when, you know, you dominated certain phases of the game, but then you say, hey, we've gotten a whole bunch of breaks with these bad special team snaps, and then you say, oh, man, that call really changed the game, took away a turnover and ejected a young man on a play where a penalty flag wasn't even thrown. That's a hard one to swallow. So there were. I bring that up, Tony, just to say, a team that's not as mature, a team that's not as emotionally solid, a team that's not as united, easily could have let some of those breaks really snowball and let the game get away. But they found a way. You know, there was enough complementary team-focused football out there that they found a way to get a big road win. So now let's see how they build from there.
Well, and Paul, that's a very leveled and fair view, and I do want to mention our pal JJ, of course, from here, but right now living a good life on the coast, had a long and outstanding, very analytical email after the Kansas game, and it still applies now about the ups and downs that this team faces at the quarterbacking position. But if you want to take the first two games and put them aside and say, all right, probably irrespective of who you had a quarterback at Kansas, given the way that game played out, the Bulldogs were not going to win that game. I'm not talking about going in. I'm talking about after watching the four quarters. If you're objective, you would realize there was no quarterback on the Fresno State bench that was going to solve the issues that the Bulldogs had in that game against Kansas. And again, we'll find out how good the Jayhawks are in the long term, but they certainly were the better team that day. Then for a half against Georgia Southern, we saw Fresno State having trouble getting out of its own way. But as we talked last week, you could tell if they solved their own housekeeping, the Bulldogs would be fine, and that's what happened in that the dominant second half. So take those two games and put them aside. With the exception of the Southern game, and this is not by any means to demean Southern University, but to say the Bulldogs figure to win this weekend, we'll see what happens. Every other game, which will be conference and, of course, Oregon State conference in waiting next year. So we've talked, Paul, you could make the case the Bulldogs could win the vast majority of them. They could lose the vast majority of them. But the one thing that we know with a pretty good degree of certainty, we're going to see games that come down to whether you want to call it clutch time, crunch time, whatever, the last 5 minutes, and then particularly the last 2 minutes. And the game at Oregon State played exactly that way. You know, you see D.C. dial up a blitz at a perfect time with 5 minutes to go. You think that might be the play that gives Fresno State the win. Yet, as you're referencing, with a minute and change to go, you're suddenly behind again, and you have to come back and win. And, Paul, I think it's going to be a very exciting but very tense year, because I think almost every game is going to come down to this. So do you feel like this team is taking the kind of strides where, hey, a 10-win season may very well be out there, or you're not prepared to say that from what you've seen so far?
No, I'm not afraid to say that, Tony. I think this team has the potential to win that many games if they stay focused, if they gain momentum. And that, to me, I thought the Oregon State game, if you zoom out and look at the season as a whole, was probably the most pivotal game, right? Because you didn't expect to be favored on the road against a Pac-12 opponent that still, even without, you know, the Power Conference TV contract that used to fuel the Beavers, right, Scott Barnes still has a bigger budget to work with. And Fresno State, and by the way, so great to see Scott. And I know, you know, when he got that Top Dog Alumni Award, there was that real scare at the dinner, and another one of the honorees helped save his life. But he looks great. He's doing great. He and his wife, Jody, are Bulldog born, Bulldog bred. And, you know, he even gave us a go Dogs, go Beavs on the air, Bulldog through and through, and just has such great perspective on college sports, where it's going. You know, he's not delusional, but he's not throwing in the towel either on what college sports should be and what should matter. You know, he's a principled leader who I think should give Bulldog fans a lot of encouragement, knowing that he's helped steering the Pac-12 ship. I don't know if the Pac-12 would have the future it appears to have without Scott Barnes's influence. And you know, I couldn't say enough about the kind of person, the kind of leader he is, and he's very gracious with his time. And I think we'll see some, you know, new developments in the Pac-12 in the future. But, you know, all that to say, his budget is bigger than Garrett Classy's, and the Beavers are supposed to win that game, especially when they know they're going to Lubbock and Eugene the next 2 weeks and staring that down the barrel of 0-4 now. So that, you know, that wasn't a gimme for the Dogs. The fact that they won it gives them a chance to get through their non-conference schedule at 3-1 if they can take care of business against an FCS opponent at home this week. And then, you know, let's see what happens in conference. Hawaii had a big win against Stanford, got dominated by Arizona. You know, Colorado State sure didn't look good against Northern Colorado, and had a call probably as favorable to the Rams as that overturned fumble was to the Beavers to survive getting beat by an FCS team that paid to come to Fort Collins. So, you know, the teams change. There's ebbs and flows. But if the Bulldogs can stay focused on what's in front of them, they could easily get to Boise at the start of November as a Mountain West Championship contender. And that's what you're hoping for. You know, that would be a huge opportunity for a new coaching staff and all these players. But it's going to take better consistency. It's going to require staying healthy. And I think the other thing that everybody in the country is starting to figure out is that it probably should feature as much of number two as possible. Because I think the last 2 weeks, fans have gotten a little taste of how different Speedy Luke is when he hits that top gear. There are very few players in college football who can accelerate the way Speedy can. And I thought the offense was fueled by numero dos on Saturday afternoon. And I think that's just a hint of greater things to come, especially when you surround them with some of the other offensive talent the Bulldogs have.
Well, you're right, Bond. First of all, grudgingly, I have to give Panish all due credit, although you and I both know this is all based upon where Speedy Luke went to high school. You and I both know that because, as we have been told numerous times, as if we didn't know already, he was a St. John Bosco Brave at Panish Family Stadium, for goodness sake. But Brian, all kidding aside, had been, you know, telling me, just watch this kid. You know, he didn't get a chance at Arizona. He's great. If he breaks the seam, nobody's going to catch him. And I'll tell you this, Paul, we talk about this so often, right? you know, I brought this up as an example, that when the 49ers won their last Super Bowl, which now goes all the way back to the 1994 season, though they have been there three times since and haven't won, though they should have, Ricky Waters was their feature back. And when he left for free agency the next year, because he got his ring, then he wanted his money, as Tim McDonald said, we'll see who wants to win a second ring. He said, a lot of guys want to win a first one, then they want their money. But Derek LaVille, who was a pretty good back at Oregon, replaced Ricky Waters, and the stats were similar. But as we brought up at the time, the difference was defensive coordinators did not have to account for Derek LaVille. He wasn't going to take it 80 yards the way Ricky Waters could, which meant other parts of your offense opened up. Paul, I would say that Speedy Luke, even when he doesn't get big numbers, is going to be very beneficial out there, because you can't tell me there's not a DC out there fretting already, trying to structure something to make sure this guy doesn't get two or three seams during a game, because if he does, he's going to end up with six. That's really going to help the rest of this offense, without question, as long as everybody else can either get or stay healthy around that offense.
No doubt, Tony. And the best part about it is, you know, those skill sets of those backs really complement each other. Ramirez has power and speed. Donaldson has, you know, that blend plus the ability to cut left and right, make people miss. And Luke, I mean, not just the top end speed, but, you know, seeing number two plant his left foot, cut right, and leave a defender with broken ankles was Clifton Smith flashback. So you combine sprinter speed with Clifton Smith shimmy and shake, and very few players in college football have that. So four touchdowns the last 2 weeks, just getting started. Keep them healthy. And, you know, maybe it's a good thing you mentioned our friend Brian Panish. He's been very generous. That's why it's Panish Family Stadium there at Bosco. And that, you know, this is not tongue-in-cheek. If Speedy Luke is doing this week after week, a very real possibility there are going to be some Power 4 schools that want to pay him a lot of money to transfer. And it may be something where, if we want to see him here again next year, then people would have to, you know, come up with some significant support. Now, after, you know, only playing significantly in two games, that maybe sounds like a stretch. But the difference on the field and just his physical capabilities is that extreme. He's that kind of player, that kind of threat. And you're absolutely right. Every defense, if he's on the field in any capacity, has to account for number two.
All the injury issues now. You and I talked last week that we saw the offensive line get nicked up, and the Bulldogs can ill afford that. Now Donaldson's injury, and I don't know to what extent it's going to bother him long term, but if there is, you're leaving the quarterbacking alone, which obviously is the elephant in the room, but just leaving that alone for the moment, as you look at this team now, and again, it's only three games in, is health the main thing you're looking at the moment? Because it's clear you've got a coaching staff that knows what it's doing. Like I said, this is a veteran coaching staff. They haven't coached together, but these aren't a bunch of young guys. They know what they're doing. Madden's has had tremendous success. Is it all about health right now, in your opinion?
Well, I think that's a huge factor, obviously. Normally, you don't have a ton of depth at this level. I do think they have better depth. And Donaldson's fine, Tony. I mean, he's, you know, you've had a sore backside, literally and figuratively, and he's got a gluteus maximus that needed a little rest, a little attention after, you know, getting hit in the wrong spot. If you've ever gotten a, you know, for lack of a better term, a Charlie horse in that part of the body, you can feel it no matter how you're moving, right? So that was holding him back a little bit Saturday, but he'll be fine for this week. You know, they lost Liam, who I think could have had a great year at tight end, and they lost McCarg. But other than that, they're healthy. They've got some depth. I think they're fine. And, you know, I think you're right. There is a very accomplished coaching staff. But if we're, you know, evaluating without a Bulldog-colored lens on, when you look at the head coach and the coordinators, there is less experience at the FBS level than most coaching staffs would bring, right? So they're still, even though they know football, they've had tremendous success, they've won at all levels, they haven't been in the shoes of being in charge of play calling decisions against the best competition in college football until now. So, you know, invariably there's some kind of learning curve there. There's something you think you know that you don't quite know until you get thrown in a situation you haven't been in before. And I think the mentality of this coaching staff, the values of the football culture that Matt Entz is building, I mean, you won't hear him do a set of interviews without the term servant leader popping up, because that's what he's striving to be and that's what he's encouraging his players to be. He wants it to be a player-led team where the focus is on the team, not the player. And I think we're seeing some success in that. And I think that's the attitude of the coaching staff, too. Nobody's stepping up and saying, I'm the be-all, end-all, I'm arrived. No, there's a hunger to keep getting better, to grow as individuals and as a unit. And just like, 100 players are a team, an array of coaches is a team. And when they're not moving in the same direction, they're not as effective. So I think that's something we'll see improve over the season, too. When you're blending guys who haven't worked together as a staff before, some who were here in the program, some who played in the program, guys who are brand new to the program, there's going to be, you know, an acclimation period. And hopefully that accelerates and we see even greater consistency. Because I think that when they hit that cohesion, that's a real priority for Coach N that he's harping on, you know, day after day, I think you'll see more consistency offensively, defensively, and just as a whole. And let's give a tip of the cap to John Baxter and that special teams group. I know there were severe special teams problems on Oregon State's side of the ball, but that should make all Bulldog fans value even more things that they could take for granted, like a flawless or undefeated long snapper in West Brown. Pat Hill always uses that term, undefeated for long snappers who don't mess up. But a kicker in Dylan Lynch, who's off to a great start for his senior year. We saw what Luke can do in the return game, and Jordan Malauulu, right? He's had multiple punt returns where he's showing he's dangerous. So I think special teams is going to win more games for Fresno State in 2025.
Well, in the last couple of minutes here again, Paul, I hope people do come out for Honor Flight. And, again, 7 o'clock Saturday, Southern, and we'll have that conversation next Monday, and then the Bulldogs are off to the islands after that. But for Lynch, it was very important to see him make kicks because we know how last year ended, and we know that he has the capability. And, you know, again, all you have to look at what happened yesterday in the National Football League in a variety of places, including up in Seattle, to know what can happen when your kicker starts to go haywire on you. It's as much mental as it is physical, and it's good to see that. The other thing I wanted to bring up, and I don't want to pick at Oregon State's coaching staff, and, you know, everybody heard, you know, what was said out of frustration by Bray, and I'm not even going to get into that. But I will say this. I know the natives are very restless up in Corvallis, and you just brought it up. Scott Barnes and company could be staring at 0-4. Paul, I'll tell you this. Before the coaching staff at Oregon State throws any of their players under the bus, either directly or subliminally, they better remember decisions that the coaching staff at Oregon State made toward the end of that game were just head-scratching to me. And one of the things, and maybe it's on Murphy, I don't know. But you and I both know one thing. If you are up one late in a game and you're understandably going to go for two to try to get up three, you had better not, in this day and age of football, throw a pass over the middle that can be picked and taken for two the other direction. And I thought to myself, Oregon State was an eyelash away from maybe losing that game, Paul, on their own conversion. And I don't know whose decision that was, but that was as bad a decision tactically as you can make, and they were very lucky to get away with it, though ultimately the Bulldogs won anyway. And when I see that kind of stuff, I wonder sometimes when the coaching staff goes off on their players if they would be better served just to look in the mirror. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. Right? And there's so many things in that game that could have swung it in one direction or another. I mean, Luke's incredible kick return, if you don't throw that flag, which was a judgment call, right? You can see it, but you could also see them letting it go. It really didn't affect the play. And certainly the situation with Thunderbird, I don't know that I've seen that where there's no flag on the field, but the replay official decides to intervene, decide there's targeting on a play where if it's a fumble because he had possession and took the steps, then Tyrol. He's not a defenseless player. So where does the targeting come in? Looked like shoulder to shoulder to me. That was a tough one.
A clean, hard hit. Yep. Yeah, you're right.
So
it was a clean, hard hit.
I would
be saying the same
game.
Thing the other way around, Paul. You know that. If that would have been a call against Oregon State, it would have been saying, hey, you know what? That is what they are trying and have been trying to do, as you know, for years, to get players used to making contact shoulder to shoulder, not helmet to helmet. And that was a shoulder to shoulder hit. And if you can't do that, then you can't play football. And, you know, luckily, it didn't cost the Bulldogs a game. But that play, if Fresno State lost, even though it was earlier in the proceedings, it wasn't the last drive, Paul, you and I both know that's the play that would have changed everything because of not only the score, but the fact the Bulldogs would have been able to really take the wind out of the sails right then.
Yeah, no, you're right. And, you know, it's a growth opportunity. You know, I think when you – and Coach Entz today, you know, he said winning is the top priority. That's what matters more than any of the numbers. And I think the team is there too. You know, you see what Jaden Carrillo did and what that meant to his teammates and the confidence that is built there. The week before it was Ryan Wilson, right? An unlikely hero. And I think if this team continues to produce those kind of stories – of guys who, because of the clean slate they were given and the coaching change, made the most of an opportunity, earned some time on the field, and then turned that into game-changing plays, that gets contagious, right? Other guys start believing they can do that. So when they get in the game, they're ready. They're prepared. They're expected. And I think we're starting to see that just about at every level of this team. Roland Fullwood, another great example of what he's doing at right tackle. So hopefully there are more stories like that to come. And, you know, I'm just hoping that Heroes Night at Valley Children's Stadium is a packed house. Because, you know, if there's one thing that the last 12 years of Central Valley Honor Flight and 20 years of interviewing veterans all over the country has taught me, nobody loves veterans and those who put their lives on the line for the rest of us more than the people of the Central Valley. So when it's Heroes Night, it's extra incentive to fill the stadium and let those men and women know that their service, their sacrifice, does not go unnoticed, and that gratitude overflows in our valley.
Again, 7 o'clock Saturday night, Honor Flight coming back in on Wednesday, what, around 5:30, Paul, for people to be there, is that correct?
Yeah, come get there by 5:30, plane. Hopefully it'll be on the ground by about 6. They'll be marching through, you know, 30, 40 minutes later. We'll have the Clovis Community Band there, Sailors, some NAS, some more. Wouldn't be surprised if Coach Entz or some Bulldog football players came back. Again, thanks to Coach for being there this morning. Meant a lot to the vets. You know, I could go on and on. I get goosebumps every time. It's the best of our valley on display. It's the heart of our valley on display. And the chance to give those men and women a welcome home that not only did they not get decades ago, but they got the opposite of decades ago. That's worth it all right there.
Very well said. Paul, I appreciate it. Have a great one. Have a good one on Saturday night, and then you and I will talk on Monday. Take care, my friend.
You too, Tony.
All right, guys. Paul Leffler, take a break. Come back, tell you about the schedule. Hand it off to Phil. I'll have 2 great hours for you, and then it's time for Monday Night Football as the Bears and Vikings. That love fest from the NFC North. Two teams that really are wild about one another. Take a break, tell you about the schedule after this as the Bulldog Hour continues on this Monday on Central Valley Sports Leader, 1430 ESPN. Everybody, welcome back. 2:53, about 2 or 3 minutes ago in the show. Hand it off to Phil's great show behind the bench for 2 hours. And it's time for Major Wager Monday, the first one, because it's the first Monday night game of the year. Again, me and Ed's Victory Grill, Cedar and Dakota, Granite Park. Phil will be with you 3 to 5, and then up to Carter, everybody on location, stop by, great prizes, wonderful time, terrific food, obviously, at me and Ed's Victory Grill and the game on the big screen. So check that out. Again, Granite Park, Cedar, and Dakota, me and Ed's Victory Grill, the first of 17 of them coming up again this year. If you're on your way home right now, I want to remind you before we give you the schedule about our pals at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman, proud sponsors of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Told you about a little bit earlier. So great to have them aboard, an international, national, of course, local entity with KFC and the local operators helping out at Fresno State. Right now, they are bringing back their terrific hot and spicy wings and potato wedges offer. Just a limited time for this. It is the ultimate fan favorite. It's one that everybody asks for, and it's now back for about a month or so. Just for a limited time, stop by the local KFCs and pick them up. And again, tell them thanks for being part of the Bulldog Bread Collective. Those are the local operators in Fresno, in Clovis, Selma, and Kerman at KFC. Now, as far as the schedule coming up, brought to you by Ed Dunkel and his terrific business, Precision Civil Engineering, planning, land surveying, civil engineering, landscape architecture, construction management, all there under one roof, 449-4500 or precisioneng.net. Ed, a longtime benefactor for his alma mater, Fresno State, particularly for the Lyles College of Engineering, and we thank him every day for his terrific work for Fresno State and his outstanding business that employs so many graduates of Fresno State and the Lyles College of Engineering there on campus. As far as the lineup goes, I mentioned Major Wager Monday, 5 o'clock, Bears and the Vikings tonight. The Red Sox and the A's over on 790, 630, 705 first pitch. The Giants will be preempted on our air tonight only because of the football game. The Giants are back tomorrow. The D-backs are in. The Giants with a devastating loss on Saturday. They're playing so well, getting back in, and then they lose that 2-0 lead in the ninth, and then they lose the series yesterday. They're still four back, a tough mountain to climb, and the D-backs are right there. So are the Reds, trying to chase down the Mets. So all the Giants can do back home now is try to put together another winning streak. We'll see what happens. We'll get back with them tomorrow. Keep in mind, you have great Friday night lights coming up on Friday as we continue with the high school season, and I would assume Pat Hill will be with both Phil and Paul Meadows because the Bulldogs are home on Saturday. I'm sure that Phil will tell you more about that. As far as the local schedule, Phil, normally 3 to 6 Monday through Friday with Behind the Bench, including Thursdays at Fashion Furniture with our great friend Rod Avedikian, best furniture on the planet, the great conversation of Phil's terrific show, some good eats as well, El Paso across from River Park. We're with you 2 o'clock each and every weekday. You can reach me, tdad1 at att.net, tdad, the number 1 at att.net. Paul Meadows has two fine shows on 790, 6 o'clock on Wednesday, Sunbird Sports Report, all about Fresno Pacific Athletics. And then Saturday mornings on 1430, 10 a.m. to noon, is long-running show, Central Valley Sports Report, live from First String Sports. Everything for the station, 1430 ESPNFresno.com. You find the live links and podcast there. And then finally, the reminders about 49ers, Rams, Raiders, everything for the rest of the national broadcast through Westwood One, all the way to the Super Bowl, everything for the World Series through ESPN Radio. The same applies to the NBA, and, of course, the Lakers will be coming up, and all the great high school action as well. So stay tuned for all of that. Phil will be up momentarily. You can always reach him on the leesair.com hotline, which is 559-320-1430. So thanks, everybody at Lees. Thanks, of course, to Ed Dunkel, Precision Civil Engineering, Joe Cruz, and his great business, Superior Pipe and Stainless Supply, and the local operators at KFC in Fresno, Clovis, Selma, and Kerman. And one more reminder, don't forget about the Bulldog Bread Collective. Marcus McMarion wants to hear from you. Any NIL ideas, sponsorship, or donations, bulldogbread.com, bread as it on the table, BREAD.com. We'll see you guys with Jackson Moore tomorrow. I'll get to your emails the best I can. Stay tuned for Phil and then Major Wager Monday. This is KFIG Fresno.